to go. There we go. Just the anticipation when the wheel spins, loading before we get stuck into it. Monday night, round one is... Oh, okay. You've just...
I wish we had the old intro music we used to have before we went on YouTube, and we used to have just that big footy music. I miss that music.
I'll have a play around and see if we can find something there. But it is round one, folks. The footy season for Richmond anyway is officially back. It obviously was back last week in its entirety. Well, maybe not its entirety, but in some capacity anyway. But it's good to be back on with knowing that our game's coming up in just a matter of days, which is very, very exciting. EJ, welcome back, mate. How are you doing?
I'm going very well. Well done, CB, on just cutting off the host on his intro to the show. That was seamless. Absolutely seamless.
We haven't had that happen for a while. There was a period of time where it was a common occurrence, and then it stopped.
CB, you know, we said the music, and me and Tiggs used to time our run for when you gave the intro. We just talk over you. But look, if I received my football and stubby holder, I'd be a little bit more generous towards you at the moment. But you know,
well, I haven't even got the stubby holders yet, nor the footballs, bar that sample. So as soon as they arrive, I will get them sent out. But if anyone does want to order a stubby holder or a footy, let us know. By the way,
yeah, it is a very, very exciting time. We all know it's going to be a long year, but there's going to be excitement along the way, and there's a fair bit of excitement this weekend. Really looking forward to having a chat about it.
Yeah, there's been quite a few things pop up today that are very, very well timed, I guess, when it comes to doing a Monday night show. So with that being said, we'll talk about opening round first, because it's been a big talking point for footballers and football watchers in general. I guess the most obvious question straight off the bat, gents, is does it work? Should it be scrapped? And how could it be worked better? It's probably a three-pronged question.
Well, I'm actually a supporter of the idea behind it. And I do think I have a proposal that gives the states that need development the limelight, and it gets football off to a proper start.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's pretty simple, really. Look, I really do believe in this idea that, I mean, okay, I'm talking now from a non-Richmond point of view, right? I'm talking about holistically about the game, right? I have zero issue with the focus of the game not being in Victoria in the first week of the season, but we can have a full week of football and still give the northern states the focus that they need to help develop the game. South Australia and Western Australia, they're mature football states, right? But with Victoria being the epicenter with the grand final, et cetera, round one, 9 games, none in Victoria.
Yep.
You've got 2 in Sydney, 2 in Brisbane, 2 in Adelaide, 2 in Perth, and 1 in Tassie until the new team comes in. And the Gold Coast and GWS need the most help, so they get the primo slots. They get the Thursday night and the Friday night. Then you put the other two northern games on in the secondary premium slots, and you can stick Port Power or Frio on, you know, in the 5 o'clock, in the 4:35 Saturday and the 5 o'clock Sunday games, because those people are going to watch anyway. But it gives us a full round of football and not this stupid staggered ladder for the first 6 weeks. And even if we have a weather event then, we don't end up with 2 games. We might end up with 7.
But and look, I've
never been less excited, less engaged at the start of a season than this year.
I think that was the common theme. And I guess, CB, to be fair, the cyclone wiping out 2 of the games probably didn't help in some instances, but I still think EJ's point's valid and still stands, that you can still execute a full round of football in every other state bar Victoria. So you get that exposure and whatever, but it just doesn't have the stupid breaks in between having buys in round 3 and 6 and whatever else it's in.
We're only doing round 0 so we can compete with rugby in the northern markets, because they do it really, really well with their season launches. Personally, I think it's just an absolute wank. Started at round 1, off we go. It's just more AFL bullshit from a bureaucracy and a board that's just so out of touch in so many ways. I'm just round one. Let's go. I mean, got to think back in the old days too, because you'd struggle to believe this, but EJ and I are a little bit older. I know you wouldn't. The viewers wouldn't recognise that fact, but it's true, right? We look 21.
You should give me a bit of warning, and I would have died the bloody.
I need some boot polish, mate. But look, we didn't start football till April back in the dark old days. So this new early March thing's a relatively new thing. But for me, start at just round one. Enough of the overthinking it and the overcomplication. Just. That's how I finish with the sigh.
I think Mark's all across it. A couple of derbies, whichever way they pronounce it in their states. Melbourne teams don't travel. All states have football, packed stadiums. Everyone's a winner.
See, and don't get me started on the bye rounds. Like, I think we should just have two-week byes where you have 5 matches 1 week, 4 matches the next, 5 matches 1 week, 4 matches. Not all this malarkey of spreading it out in 6 games this week and 4 games this week, and just make it as simple as possible.
Agreed.
But they've had some good ideas, like Gather Round. It's got legs. People love it. Leave it in South Australia. It's a winner. What tick?
You just got to sometimes admit when something doesn't work, don't you? And just say, you know what, we tried it, it didn't work, let's rejig it or whatever you've got to do and roll on with it. No one's going to hold it against him. I think, there's been a lot more being spoken about media-wise with this as well, which hopefully gained some traction. But
Michaels, I think round zeros are just a bust to me. I would rather see the AFL focus on, if they're going to do anything based on the NRL model, is player movements mid-season. I think we're mature enough now to actually handle, rather than having 4 months of just bullshit from bullshit journalists that we know who they are, just making shit up about players, have that mid-season move and you go, Michaels is moving to Big Footy Bombers board by the end of next season, by June, July, or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
We all know that we've all been given advance warning that Tiggs is going to the Pies board next year.
Mate, it didn't even cost him much too, mate. They just gave him an extra year on the deal. Wasn't even that much cash.
Oh, did I say malarkey, did I?
You did. Well done, Grace. Good pickup. Well done. This is what we're all about. People picking up on stuff in chat. Well done. Actually, before we push on to, we're going to take a look at the injury list. Before we push on to the injury list, I do want to just put out there that today, for those who saw my tweet, I was at the MCG. Now, I will mention what it was about. If you find a copy of The Age on Thursday, you might see a photo in there of myself and Terry from the Blue Broad podcast, just a bit of a promo for the round one, along with an article about fan-based podcasts. So a tweet went out from Andrew from The Age, and a few people tagged me in it, just wanting to speak to fan-based podcast. So we asked a few questions, and we went and did a photo at the G, which would be pretty cool. So keep an eye out for the Thursday Age to see my ugly mug in there. Grok was almost able to make it as well. It was open invite to anyone who could get down from the gang, but obviously logistically, I don't think a lot of people realize how far away we all live from each other.
That's by design too. I don't want to live anywhere near
Seabird. Exactly. It's not as easy it maybe seems on the surface. But all right, with that said, let's get stuck into the injury report, because a fresh one came out today, which was good timing again. I'll skip over Sam Lawler because we'll talk about him after. But Tom Lynch, concussion available. So there was obviously a little bit of speculation that came out from training the other day that he had a quad injury, we saw written somewhere. But then I read about 3 or 4 other people writing that he was kicking goals with 5 minutes to go with Harry Armstrong and left the track fine. So I think as the collective supporter base, we're all in a little bit of limbo with that one. But there was Chris from Twitter was at Punt Road today, took a photo of Lynch training. I think he even spoke to Lynch, and Lynch is fine. Don't believe the rumours. He is training well, and it was all okay for round one. So that's a huge plus. Dion Prestia, Achilles, 3 to 5 weeks. The report here, there's still not much change to Dion at the moment. Still tracking to the timeline they initially thought. He is progressing well, though, which is good for him. Hugo Ralph-Smith, hamstring 3 to 5 weeks. So I think they've mentioned here they've put him in a holding pattern just to protect him from himself. He's tracking well, but will still miss the first few rounds. Josh Smiley, hamstring 2 to 4 weeks. So they actually sent Josh for another scan to see how it was going. Mm-hmm. And like they mentioned the other week, it's just not healing well. So again, they're going to put him in a holding pattern and we should hopefully see him in 2 to 4 weeks. And Jonty Fall, who had the back injury, is down as a test because it must be, I'm guessing there's a VFL practice game this weekend or whenever that might be. But he's been back into some full contact training, which is good, and match sim. So we'll see him progress over the next coming weeks as well. Onto the ACL guys, the two that were mentioned were Juddy Clark and McKelty Lefau. Both of them progressing really well. McKelty actually got through a full training session with the non-contact hat on, which was good. And they should be pretty much hopefully hitting their final segment of rehab in the next month or two, which would see them doing some more match simulation and probably a run in the VFL, I dare say, when the timing's right. So that is the injury front for the Tigers so far.
Now, on the opposition injury front, I decided to do some recon and I slipped under the barbed wire fence and, you know, snuck into Carlton down Lygon Street. So this week, according to the Carlton website, Walsh is available. So he'll be lining up on Thursday night. Durden is out. Newman is out. Pitane is out. Kerno is out. Chincotta is out. And Monaghan out. They're the starting guys that...
Who the hell's Monaghan?
What's that?
Who's Monaghan?
I don't know. Who's Chincotta? I don't know. I just chucked him in. And obviously I left out what's his name? Campriali's son, and obviously the unfortunate incident that happened with their number one draft pick as well. So there's possibly another one there that's out.
And we did see mixed reports. I'm not sure if anyone out there can help us with this, but we did see varying reports that Harry Mackay could be out as well. A Carlton poster wrote it on their big footy board, and no one seemed to really question it in the initial post after. So I'm a little bit confused if that's a real thing or not. It would obviously help dramatically if he was missing. Not that you want to wish injury upon anybody, but we need a few things to fall into place. But with that said, let's get stuck into the preview of the Carlton game. It's so, so good that round one's right here upon us. And I suppose the most exciting thing about this, guys, is the three debutants that are going to be playing this weekend, which we all thought they were kind of getting thereabouts, but we weren't sure how the final selections were going to fall. But I think a big shout out and congratulations to Sam Lawler, to Luke Traynor, and to Harry Armstrong for making their debut, as mentioned by the club today. I think that's puts a real bit of boost in everyone's step heading to the G on Thursday night, I think, doesn't it?
Just can you bring up Mortal Kombat's post there? Interesting. Yeah. So the AFL has had radio silence on this for 3 weeks, and we've obviously seen some injuries occur because of players pushing other players into packs. There you go. They may actually.
The AFL have sent a memo to all clubs advising that pushing into a marking contest may now be looked at as rough conduct. There we go.
Bit late for Ivan Soldo.
What's that?
Bit late for Ivan Soldo, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly right. But back onto the debutantes, the three young men who are going to put the Richmond Guernsey on for the first time in an official home and away game. How exciting, EJ, to see these guys get a crack at it.
Oh, it's amazing. But I do believe before we discuss them that CB's been hard at work and he's donned the suit and he might have
an executive order. An executive order is in.
Is this our first one for the year?
This is our first executive order that we are delivering to the Tiger Army.
I'm doing my Hitler pen movement from those videos. Right. To all the media, please pay attention. We're going to do these through the year, just so the audience knows, just to educate or help. It's pronounced Lawler, not Layla. So if we could just hear that during the broadcasts or whenever we're talking about it, that would be appreciated. That's the first, what do we call it, EJ? What do we call it?
Executive order.
It's an executive order.
Order for the year. This one goes Lawler. To the AFL. Thank you.
Lawler, not Layla.
To the press.
There we go. The first executive order. But in all seriousness, I know Lawler was a chance to not get up for this one on the back of the jaw incident, but very good to see that he got through training all okay. He had the non-contact cap for the first maybe couple of days and then didn't have it for the last two sessions, which is really, really good. I think it's probably fair to say, though, that Harry Armstrong and Luke Trainer are probably the ones that have thrown themselves forward into calculations, what maybe seems like a little bit later in the piece. But all you keep hearing, EJ, is that everyone's having to hold Trainer back from, you know, jumping and going and doing everything all at once, such as his enthusiasm. And Harry Armstrong, I said it last week, it was one of the best three or four possession games that I've seen from a big guy on his, you know, first actual hit out. His tackling, his ability to compete in the air is exactly what we're after. So I'm not shocked to see him there, but I'm very, very pleased to see him there as well.
Yeah, I think Warren actually put a nice message up there, and I noticed that watching the video from the – they were in the room, all in the meeting room, and they were all sitting there, and he was announcing everything, and he talked to Armstrong, and he goes, you know, exactly what we showed you on the tape, what you did, you know, when the ball hit the ground and you went – he was highlighting his work off the ball, which, as you know, is somewhat of a bugbear of mine for players. So that was a really, really good thing. And with Trainer, obviously he dropped down the draft because of the concerns over his concussions. No one doubted his ability, and he has put it front and center. And if he doesn't have problems going forward, we might have stolen one.
Well, he was, yeah, what, pick 21 and Harry Armstrong, pick 23, both from Sandy Dragons. But you've got to love the look of both these kids getting the game. It's exciting.
Well, like I said, my youngest child, who's, like I said, he runs best mates, was playing at Gippy Power. And when we got Trainer, he just said that was a mad pick. Where we got him, he just said absolute steal. So he, now there's an 17, 18-year-old kid at the time. He knew what we got. Yep. I'm just ecstatic. I'm just so ecstatic we got these three blokes in having a go. I'm disappointed for Smiley because I reckon he would have been in as well if he had been fit.
Yep.
But what you hope is by the club doing this, it really motivates Jasper, Jonty, those other guys to say, hey, we can actually, if we perform, we're actually a chance to get in there at some stage. So, and like I said, effectively, Tom Lynch is like a new recruit for us now too, hasn't played effectively for 2 years. So, and again, I'll say, Matthew Richardson highlighted this on the Talking Tiger podcast. If we could just not do Dustin Martin comparisons to Lawler as well, that'd be great. I mean, I just got visions of Lawler kicking a goal and the place is just going to light up. The place is going to light up if he kicks a snag. But could not be happier with these selections. Could not be happier.
Now, to the point of Sam Ellis and many others in chat, I wholeheartedly agree. Please, please do not make any of these kids sub. If you're going to make them play their debut game, give them the full game. Don't put them in the vest. It's just a really, really shit way to go about it. And I know that our perspective is not the way the club wants to view or play games. I get it. But it just has bad vibes about it. Let them play. If you've got to sub one off it towards the end, fair enough. Whatever happens, happens if they're gassed. But don't start them as sub.
I mean, it's very easy to have a planned, as long as nothing else goes wrong, to have a planned sub halfway through the third quarter and one of the debutants comes out, you know?
Yes.
Put K-Mac or someone as sub, you know, and then you've got a hardened, experienced someone that if the shit does hit the fan early, we get an injury, there's no dramas there. But if they do come on halfway through, they're right, they're in the game, no dramas at all, and the kid gets a break. But yes, please, no to the sub. Yes, the media will. The media will, but it's up to us. We don't have to follow what the bloody media say. More on that later.
Jesus, very true. All right. Well, with that said, we are going to try and pick the best 23 for the game on Thursday night, which will be somewhat tricky, but we'll have a crack at it nonetheless. Feel free to chuck names in the comments as well. Now, I've got those three names there, because not necessarily position-wise. I just put them on there because we know that they're locked and loaded for the time being. But starting from the back line, gentlemen, I should copy and paste that, not just drag it up there. Who are we going for? And we'll call it a back six, but you know what I mean. Back pockets, half backs, all kind of end up being the same.
So my back, my full back line is Short, Miller, Broad. They're the three I've got there.
Broad, I do believe, will be down there. EJ, would you agree that Broad is going to be somewhere in this vicinity?
Yeah, I'll have you that. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to...
Positional wise, it's much of a match.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the semantics like last time. We'll be all right.
Fullback.
I'll just let you have it, CB. There you go. No.
You're getting so soft in the old
days. CB, you've gone Miller for fullback. I'm guessing the other one to consider is Kaczynski. What do you feel about that, EJ, in chat? And now there is one, not saying Blight, because I think Blight will be centre halfback, but much of a muchness. But let's say it's out of Miller and Cozzy. What's everyone thinking?
Miller, he's got the runs on the board. And statistically last year, he was one of the best one-on-one defenders in the league. That's actually statistics. That's not me with an opinion. It's a fact. Miller will play fullback. He'll start.
I tend to agree that he will because of that reason. I know there's a lot of Miller hate around, but the stats don't lie from last year. But EJ, who would you have gone with?
Yeah, happy with Miller.
Yeah. And it's toss of the coin. Like,
statistics are one thing, CB. Statistically, Margot Robbie has never knocked me back. Now, I've never had the chance to ask her, but at the moment, I'm batting 100. So, you know, statistics can be misleading.
Now, Miller could also double as the backup ruckman at some point as well, which I think is another reason why he's probably got the edge on a couple of other players, because he can play that role, especially if Kerno isn't playing and it's just Mackay. I think that gives him the ability to be able to play that role. So I think that's why he's probably gets another tick in that spot. The other back pocket, I mean, you can roll out either Short, Vlosten, whichever you want to go with. Do we think, would Short likely be higher though? From a
doesn't matter. The reality is they pick their own opponents when they get on the ground anyway. So
we go Vlosten, and then we're saying that Jaden Short will be one here almost certainly.
Yep, Jacob Blight centre half.
Jacob Blight for centre half back. Now, who would you guys have on the other half back? I guess the one name that kept coming up a lot in preseason was probably Tom Brown.
Yep.
Trezise was another one, but we obviously saw him play on the wing a little bit against Collingwood, and it sounded like from Uze's video that he was liking him on the wing. So are we thinking Tom Brown for this one?
Yep.
I'm going Banks. Tom Brown.
Brown? Okay, Brown seems unanimous for that. And that's probably going to be a little bit of a rotating door as well, I guess.
I'm so excited for this next one. I can't wait to say it.
Onto the wings. Go, CB. Who have you got for the wings? Or A
Thompson
wing.
Go, Dow. Let's go. Thompson Dow. Let's go. Let's talk. Yeah. Let's have an intervention. Let's talk about this.
Why? Like, I defended Thompson Dow quite a bit last year, but not even I would put him on the wing. But I know what you mean. I know what you're going to say.
Adam Uze specifically said last week that Thompson Dow is playing on a wing. He said it.
I can't wrap my head around it. EJ, who would you go?
I'd go Banks.
That's who I was going to go. But to CB's point, he did say it. Like, when I say he, I mean Uze. It won't shock me, but I kind of feel like we've got some better options there.
And I think... if K-Mac is not the sub, because I think he would be a good sub.
Yep.
If K-Mac is not the sub, I would put him on the other wing. If he's in the 23, if people think that he's in the 23, I'd either have him wing or sub, one or the other.
Or I had K-Mac as my other wing starting.
I tend to agree. I think, see, now the other curveball I'll throw though is with his inside mid work, could we see him go to Cripps straight off the bat?
No, see, the reason Hopper starts on. Hopper will start on Cripps. You started on him last year. I've got Trezise on my bench for if there's a move where McIntosh goes in the ball, they want that left-footed winger. They've said that as well. So that's why I've got Trezise on the bench because he'll go onto a wing at some stage.
Yeah. Look, my head tells me that McIntosh will start there, but I truly wouldn't be surprised if he started in the midfield opposing Walsh or Cripps.
A lot of support in the chat for K-Mac in the guts.
Yeah.
Love it.
I think it's a good chance to happen.
This is a bloke that half of them wanted the bloody bin last year. Now we're all screaming for him to beat the guts.
Because we've finally found someone who can tag Grock in the... And a lot of people are also conversely saying Trezise will play on the wing. And I get that too, because on the back of similar to what CB was saying about the comments on Dow, the same comments were made about Trezise as well. But he doesn't necessarily have to start there. He could come off the bench and play on the wing. Yeah, he might end up playing through there though, for sure.
I didn't see the second Pracky game, so I've never really seen him on a wing. Apparently, he did all right, did he?
He did okay. He offered something a bit different. I think Uze does have the appeal of being a left-footer on there, which, yeah.
I've got Timmy Taranto in centre.
Okay. So, but am I right in saying that between this spot and these two, it's Taranto, Hopper, Ross? Is that what we would universally agree on?
Yep.
Yeah, correct. We're going to try and make ourselves as slow as possible.
Yeah. And not that I necessarily fully agree with it, but it is what it is. Now, the half forward line, does Lawler start on the ground at half forward?
Yes.
Please.
Yes. EJ, yeah, you're in?
100%.
All right. So everyone's keen for Sammy Lawler starting at half forward. Second big question, does Harry Armstrong start at centre half forward?
No, Bauer.
Bauer?
Yep.
EJ?
Bauer.
Bauer. All right, Bauer it is. Other half forward, I'm guessing this is going to be someone like a Seth Campbell or a Morris Rowley Jr., a Ryan Mansell, someone of that ilk?
Seth Campbell.
Happy with that, EJ, Seth?
All of the above.
Yeah, true. Campbell.
If we get close with the 23, that's all, you know, like whether they're on field on the bench. If we get close to the 23, that'll do.
Yeah,
exactly. Full forward line. So I'm guessing Mansell will be one, Rainey.
Nigel.
Yep. Mansell, Lynch, MRJ. I've got.
Now, I have to ask for full transparency, CB. Are you only saying MRJ because of the chocolate bet that's on the line, or do you actually believe he will start?
He will start. He will 100% be in the team.
You will 100% be in the team.
100%.
Lock it in.
Who was the person that made the bet? Is that person still in chat? Who was that? I should have written it down. So a lot of other love for Rioli Jr. as well. Some other possible candidates. Now, see, yeah, Rioli Jr. could be a candidate for sub too, which is a good point from a few people in chat. Rucks will go. Obviously, Nankervis is going to ruck.
Yep. That's Nankervis, Taranto, and Hopper. Just put them in.
Yep. So then all that's left to do then is to work out two interchange spots and a sub. I'll remove the Lawler one. So we've got Trainer and Armstrong starting on the bench. So we're not putting any of these young kids in a sub. Who else would be on the bench?
So this is where I had my bench was Trainer, Armstrong, Green, Trezise with Banks as a sub.
Right. Well, I think we have to put Trezise in as one of them, no matter what, because of how he's been spoken about.
Yep.
And who would be the other bench spot? So we've got Steely Green's an option. What are we thinking in chat? Who else could play the last bench spot? I don't think this team will see Samson Ryan. I do think they're going to go with a a different second ruck option. So I'm not sure it's going to be a size thing. Anthony, good call. Sonzi, does he get a call on the bench? Because he had a reasonably good hit out against Collingwood as well in that first half. That's a good one. Green or Sonzi.
That's what Dowing. Dow has to be.
There's someone else ahead of Dow.
Kane McAuliffe.
My boy.
Yeah, but he's not. With those three debuting, Ray. He's not playing this weekend. Unless he's the sub.
So what do we think about Sonzi then?
Nah.
So where are we landing with this one?
I'm just going off what Uze said. Thompson Dow will start.
I think that logic stands to reason a little bit because he's kind of gone out of his way to mention him. So correct. But the question will be, is he going to be there on the bench or will he be there as sub, I suppose? Again, he mentioned that he's going to be on the wing, so you'll probably think he's going to be there in some way, shape, or form. Now, if we had to pick a sub, who are we going with as sub? A lot of love for Campbell Green here too, which I'm liking.
I'd say Green.
Green. EJ, who would you have as sub, given what we've selected so far?
Oh, as it's been pointed out in the chat, that McAuliffe wasn't with the main group, so that probably rules him out, but that's who I would have. But
did he not train with the main group today?
Oh, what did RSC say? There's so many messages.
McAuliffe hasn't been with the main squad. Right. So that probably puts a line through him in that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. So in that case, I'd say either Sonzi or Green.
Sonzi or Green. All right, well, we'll go Green because I think that's who you said as well, wasn't it, CB?
Well, I just think he actually had some okay form in the practice matches as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, well, definitely did. When McAuliffe came on in the second half of the practice match last week, he was really good. So, you know.
He was. He was very good in the VFL game. Oh, in the AFL one, and then in the VFL one the day after, he was very good. So I'm not sure, and it's hard because like I'd take your point, RFC Centre, but potentially the players in the B team could have to be there to balance out how the matchups work when they're doing their drills. I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see. I think if he's fully fit, I would be gobsmacked if Kane McAuliffe's not picked if he's fully fit though. So that's where the question mark is he fit or is he not fit? We just don't know. So there's the 23 that we've come up with. So keen to see some other thoughts though, and what people would think and what changes they would make. Where are we? Gray ahead of Miller. Yeah, possibly. I mean, he's done some really good work in the VFL the last couple of weeks and in match sim as well. I think he'll eventually get his chance there for sure. It's just, I think you have to kind of go with the experience of Miller because you've got to remember, Campbell Gray's not played an AFL game yet. So you've got to probably go with the experience on that front on this game. But yeah, we'll probably see him for sure.
They wouldn't give the number 12 to a bloke. They're going to sit in Coburg or the reserves, mate.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point too. A few people saying take Dow out for Smith. Caleb Smith has been, I thought he played a really good game against West Coast. Will we have too many halfbacks if we were to do that? Because you'd have Trezise, you'd have Trainer, you'd have Short, Brown, and then Caleb Smith. Maybe not.
Possibly. Very good, very good, very good point in the comments here from Dead Mem 3 or Dead Meme or whatever you bloody say. Gray would have been announced as a debut with the others, would he not, if he was going to be in the side?
You would think so, unless they wanted those draftees to have their own bit of limelight at the start, given they were just taken in the recent crop. But I reckon that's a pretty good point. I think it's a pretty good point. So they did not announce him to debut.
Well, can I just say that isn't it refreshing that we're actually debating over the last couple of spots and we've got options?
Yeah.
Well, there's actually, it looks like there's, because after you go through the cycle of success, unless you're a club that pays people under the table and maintains a list for a longer period, that most people go through cycles, and when you've been successful, your cap bursts, you trade players out, and the depth is the thing that gets hurt. You don't lose your top players, but you lose your depth. Now we're starting to build our depth back up, and it's really pleasing. And we're gonna see a lot of players with under 20 games experience get lots of opportunities this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important that we all remember that too, with how young the side is. So you look at, yeah, you've got, well, there's three debutants who have obviously not played a game at all, and then a ton of other guys who are well under that 35, 40 game mark. In terms of second ruck, for those who are asking, in this environment, in this instance, I reckon we're saying that Ben Miller will second ruck when it's in the centre, and potentially Bauer and or Armstrong do some rucking in the forward line, like we saw Armstrong do in the practice game. And look, he's probably not there to win the hit out exactly, but he's there just to halve the contest and give us half a chance. So I don't think that's too much to ask. And I kind of feel like he thrives on that based on how he goes about things. So yeah, in this instance, Miller would back up ruck. So from Carlton's perspective, Pitnett's not playing, so they've got De Koning would be their number one ruck. I'm not sure who the backup ruck would be when he's off the ground. So if anyone's got any insights there, that would be good to hear about. But and this is where we can kind of get away with it. I think if they were playing Pitnett and De Koning, I think it would be a different story. I don't reckon you could have Miller do that role.
No, that's what's really exciting. 2-3 years' time, we've got a really competitive young kid who is going to be good forward, and he's quite competitive as a ruck.
Andrew Podger, tell me you're not a Richmond supporter without telling me you're not a Richmond supporter.
Come on, Andrew. Morris Rioli Jr.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
We'll let it slide. Yeah.
Rocky Gagliardi actually puts a point up there about will Lynch be subbed? We have a lot of forwards. I would doubt that Lynch would be the one to come out.
You
would think that Armstrong would be the one. Yeah, and thank you, exactly. Hawk Tim. That makes sense. Mackay will second ruck. You are absolutely spot on. Thank you for that. But we saw that there was some potential speculation he may not play. But anyway, we'll see how that plays out. Or Soss will be back up ruck. So you kind of give yourself a chance to break even there as well, which would be very, very interesting. I'm not sure if he's back playing or if he's in the mix or what's happening there.
So Mitch McGovern, he pulled up shockingly in their last practice match, like he's like been shot. So I'm surprised if he plays, I'll be really surprised.
That would be a handy ad as well. Greg wants to know, 6 cans of Jim Beam of the Carlton supporter. He's given me 5 goals. Am I paying or drinking?
Oh. Borderline. 50-50.
Yeah.
No, I think you're paying, mate.
I think they might do us by a little bit more than 5 goals.
What I hope is that we hang tough for 2.5 quarters, and then obviously some of the kids will probably fade a bit, and you know. But want to be, as Spud Frawley used to say, just want to be competitive. Competitive.
I know there's a lot of hate for Miller. I think people get caught up on the team as a collective. Our last 5 or 6 games, maybe even 7 from 2024, where collectively we were pretty awful. And Miller was, had a couple of stinkers in there as well, as did they all. But prior to that, there was parts of 2024 where he was ranked in the top 10 to 15% of the AFL in halving one-on-one contests. So that stat doesn't lie, and that's why he's picked. And I know he had that bad turnover the other day and he's done some bad kicks, but he's not played many games himself. So I think there's still going to be plenty more Ben Miller to come. And the backup ruck is what probably propels him further into calculation. So I'm just wanting to put a little bit of context around why the club would value him as opposed to what supporters may see and not view as valuable. Because there's other stats and things behind the scenes that tick a lot of boxes from that sense. But anyway, let's take... Oh, sorry, go, EJ.
Grock had a great suggestion as far as the bet goes. Drink the 6 cans during the game and give them the empties.
Yeah, I like that. Very good. Okay, let's have a look. Or not have a look, but we'll talk about the game a bit more. Blues on Thursday night. We've just picked the 23. What are we realistically expecting from this game? What do you want to see? What do you think we'll see? What do you hope to see? All of the above. Let us know in chat as well what you're hoping to see and get out of this game, because it's a new era. It's a new Richmond. I, without wanting to put a downer on it, I don't think we should all be going in thinking we're going to be a winning chance, but we've got to be realistic with where we're at. But there's still going to be a lot of positive things to see, I think, and hope.
Yeah. Look, I want to see Brown provide consistency. I think he's got all the tools, and I think he could be a long-term, really important player. And I just want to see Hopper have a good, solid game. The kids, whatever the kids do, the kids do. I just want to see a good game from Hopper, and I want to see a good four quarters from Brown.
From Brown, that's fair enough. CB, what do you want to see from this game?
To be honest, I just want to see some system forward of the center. It feels like we haven't had that for a couple of years.
Definitely.
So, and I expect looking at this with a fresh center forward in Bauer, there's going to be some issues forward of the ball, but I'm hoping we can kick more than 10 goals. And I just want to see us competitive. Just don't get blown out of the water. And, you know, if we can get some of these players like Lynch through the game, will be tremendous for us moving forward. So really it's just, yeah, competitiveness and what system have we got moving forward.
Actually, a couple of people have sort of brought it up. What I want to see is when we turn the ball over that we are not Swiss cheese.
To add to that and to Sam's point as well, that was probably one of the big things Uzay highlighted when sort of talking about the game style and game plan, that he wants to be really, really good and tough defensively. And to your point, EJ, that's what it's all about, because I think it's probably fair to say that in parts of those practice matches, we probably didn't see too much of that defensive running at various stages. It was there in the first quarter in a bit, and whether that's a workload thing or whether it was a not having the right cattle out there to execute it properly thing, I'm not too sure. But yeah, you don't want to see that disappear. You want to be really, really good and stingy defensively. So, but a big part of that, though, guys, is our ability to make sure we either win the clearance or if we lose the clearance, we've got to somehow stop opposition players from just waltzing out the middle. Any thoughts on how we're going to try and do that? Obviously, Paddy Cripps is an out-and-out star who's probably going to get 30 to 35, if we're being honest. Sam Walsh is a pretty good player as well and can hurt you. Do we go with a tagging role for K-Mac at some point? Do you wait and see how it plays out? How do we kind of, limit the damage when we lose clearance?
Hopper played on in round one before he got hurt last year and was actually breaking even with Cripps. Played really well in round one last year. But what the club has said, they're trying to focus on winning the stoppages to get the ball forward and then set up behind it. So that's been a big focus area, what they're trying to do. So when you talk about, you know, the Swiss cheese defense, if we turn it over, but really, I think we're going to go head-to-head with them. I don't think it'll be a tag. We'll go head-to-head, and we will try and win that pill and get it forward and lock it in and set up behind it. I think that's what they will attempt to do. They won't tag.
Now, let's talk quickly about fast-moving ball movement versus tempo football. We've obviously heard Uzay say that, in roundabout way, that we will be seeing some type of tempo football at various stages. What kind of balance? I know it's probably hard to say because it depends on the game situation, I guess. But would everyone agree that tempo football should be reserved and bought out when there's maybe a run of goals against us? Like, I don't know if we should be doing that when the game's sort of even and in the balance as such.
Greystoke has just said he reckons Walsh ain't playing. What's your mail? Because on the website, they say he's playing. And the supporters are confident that he's playing as well. So I'd just like to know if it's opinion or he's got some facts behind it.
Fair enough. On the fast versus slow footy, gents?
Oh, look, I'd rather see fast footy, but I think we'll go into our shells a bit when we get, you know what they say, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah.
I think when we get punched in the face, we might slow down a little bit.
And that's where I think we're probably at. I reckon we'll stick with them and be really competitive for the first quarter and a half to two quarters, kind of similar to the Collingwood game. But I guess the next phase is how do we sort of limit and reduce those fade outs to not be as brutal as what that one was.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have, it's a young team. You're going to have those fluctuations until I get 50 games in the thing. The next 2 years, we've just got to accept we're going to have some high-low moments in a game. That's just going to happen.
Yep, and I think if you go to the game mentally prepared, knowing that you're going to see ups and downs and not a four-quarter effort, you'll leave the game hopefully a lot less angry than if you're expecting to see a big four-quarter effort. It's just where we are in our footy cycle. That's literally all it is. Any key matchups either of you are looking forward to seeing?
Oh, just Lynch versus Wiedering. We finally got a big bear in the square back. So that'll be good.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how Bauer goes as well with having Lynch in the side, because we haven't really seen that play out. Even last year, we didn't really see it play out. So I think and hope that Bauer can clunk a few more and kick a few goals, and maybe that then frees up Harry Armstrong to hopefully get on the end of a couple as well with some big marks and some nice left foot bangers. So fingers crossed we can see some goals from those two gentlemen.
You know the one guy that no one has mentioned who we actually have to stop? Everyone talks about the obvious ones in Cripps and blah, blah, blah. De Koning is the one we have to stop. That kid is an out-and-out superstar.
He's a very good footballer. He's
the one we have to stop.
He could almost end up being the best ruckman of the year if he stays fit enough across the whole season.
Correct.
Yeah, he's super. Nank's going to have his work cut out, because the problem we've got is that De Koning's going to be a lot more nimble and agile around the ground than what Nank is. So getting from contest to contest, or actually pushing forward to be a threat, especially if Kerno's not playing, maybe he rucks and then pushes forward, which could cause Nank some issues with matchups and being caught out of position. So hopefully there's a bit... You need to have good communication between the defenders and the ruck department to make sure that we've got all bases covered there.
Yep.
The best way to ban is to ban me from making comments about the state of the game. Fair enough, Grok. That's yeah, fair enough. Ryland, no Kane McAuliffe because we aren't sure of his fitness. So he hasn't been training in the A squad, if you want to call it that. So we're just not sure. But if he's fully fit, I would fully expect him to be picked to play. But we just don't know.
I tried Ryland, but I didn't get any support. Help me out.
You did. There's a good question. Do we think Lawler's going to kick a goal in round one? And if you do, what quarter is it coming in? Just for laughs.
I'm actually going to chuck money on him to be the first goal scorer for us.
Yeah. Really? First goal scorer?
I'm going. Just to go
for the game or for Richmond?
For the game.
Game.
Do you remember in his 300th before we got absolutely smacked by Hawthorn?
Oh, the noise
when Dusty kicked the first goal of the game.
Yes.
Can you imagine 80,000 people and the chosen one Lawler kick wheels around on his right? 35 out on a 45-degree angle after Buddy brushing aside a tackle and he just slots it, the place is going to go mental.
I've got goosebumps thinking about that. There'll be a pitch invasion if that happens. People will be just flooding the field.
Sportsbet don't believe that we can win the game very much. Carlton's currently $1.05 and we're at $10.50.
Well, it's, yeah, not unreasonable to have that odds there. But a lot of people are backing in Lawler to kick a goal. And the beauty of him is seeing him lead up and take a big, big mark, he can actually do that. So it's not, they're going to have to pay attention to him, which is good. So hopefully we can.
Early first goal scorer, Sam Lawler, $23.
Oh, very good. Oh, Tiesta, Richmond by 10. I like it.
Hello, Tiesta.
With that being all said and done, let's get our predictions, including margins, and then we'll finish off with Come On Man. So tips, including margins for the game. Chuck them in chat as well. EJ, I'll start with you, mate. What are you going with?
Carlton by 43 points.
CB?
Richmond by 23 points.
Oh, stop it. I'm going to say, unfortunately, the Blues by about 45 to 50. If we can get it, this, I don't want this to sound condescending because it's not. It's just really with where we're at. But if we can get it under 30, that would be a really good result, I think, over the course of four quarters for the young kids we've got out there. But, yeah, we'll have to see how that one
goes.
This
is the beautiful thing in the footy tips. You tip Carlton, and if Richmond get up, you're happy because no one else has tipped Richmond anyway. And so you get to enjoy it.
That's very true. It's very true. All right. Well, now we'll push on to the final segment of the night. Come on, man.
Yeah, look, there was a few nominations.
Come on, man.
It's on loop. Sorry. I didn't mean to have it on loop.
There's a few nominations, and I think we've sort of got a one that came late was this breaking news from Caroline Wilson tonight that maybe it isn't the lifestyle that is drawing people down to the Cattery. With the news that they're being investigated for Bailey Smith deals and for Joel Selwood deals that go back quite a while. Now, we've already got them in there because the AFL swept Brad Scott under the carpet. They are on notice that they'll probably shut, we'll probably shut down, come on, man, if this gets swept under the rug. But this week, the winner is John Ralph. Like, seriously. We have just had opening round.
Come on, man.
We've had come on, man. We've had opening round. We've had two games. We've seen Collingwood get flogged. We've had Cyclones interrupting the bloody season. You've got injuries to players left, right, and centre. And what we have from John Ralph is an article on Dustin Martin, his possible footballing future, what he's doing now. I mean, seriously, I mean, he's retired. He's not coming back. I thought that we left that sort of crap to Sam McClure and David Schwartz and stuff like that. His basis or substance or whatever it was for doing the articles, oh, you know, it was the most clicked. Yes, we know it's the most clicked because it's clickbait. That's what it is. It's actually not news. Give us the news relevant to this football season. Stop taking the low-hanging fruit with crap like that. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Agreed. Agree 100% how you could – these third-party deals, big stories. Tanner Bruin, big story. Clearly, Eugen Hagel, what his name is, Hugo Hagen,
yep.
Big story.
Yep.
Even the injuries. Yep. If you look at the injuries to the key players this year, there's so much stuff. Like I said, round zero got absolutely nixed by Cyclone, Flamen, Mungrel, Alfred from Home and Away. And he wants to write a dusty article. It's just, I didn't click on it. It's just pathetic. It's just pathetic.
Yeah.
Grock had an Uber driver today saying he felt even though Dusty retired, he'd wind up at Gold Coast next year.
If he was a Geelong flog, you said, I hear Tom Hawkins. Just troll him back. Yeah, no, Tom Hawkins, I think, is making a comeback. He's going to play for Gold Coast.
And the amount of people who still think that he can play in the mid-season or go somewhere in the mid-season draft is remarkable. He did not nominate for the national draft of 2024, so he therefore is fully excluded from everything in 2025. So it's 2026 or nothing if there was ever an AFL play in the cards, which there clearly isn't.
And as Jones Racing says, it's $4.50 for a copy of the Herald Sun these days. Look, I'll give people a tip, right? $4.50 for big rectangular pieces of toilet paper isn't worth it. You can get one in a roll with tear-off sheets and it's a lot cheaper. Yep. Stop supporting that crap.
All right, on that note, that is a wrap for tonight's show. So Richmond up against Carlton Thursday night, three debutantes, which is bloody exciting. So make sure you get out there to watch Lawler, Trainer and Armstrong strut their stuff. It's going to be fascinating to see how we go about our footy this year. Hopefully we can see some really positive signs and steps forward. I'm really looking forward to seeing our kickouts as well. We obviously saw glimpses of it in the practice games, hopefully not to the pocket. We want to see some variation there. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this game unfolds. We just want to be ultra-competitive for as long as possible and just defend well. Hopefully we can stem the flow a little bit if anything ever, you know, starts to get blown out of the water. But, yeah, just great to see the young Cubs out in the field and great to see the three debutantes playing on the MCG on a Thursday night. So, EJ, Michael, CB, yes. Yeah.
So when are the footies and our stubby holders possibly coming in, mate, just for the audience?
I think the footballs will be, will be here in April. So if you do want a stubby holder or a footy, send us a message and we can get an invoice sent across and work it all out. I'm probably trying to pick a game or two where I can drop some off at the ground, like you can come pick them up, or we can just post them out. So we'll work out postage costs and things like that as well. But We appreciate the love and support. Make sure you go and subscribe on all the different channels on YouTube, Facebook, X, and all that kind of stuff. Tomorrow night, just quickly as well, tomorrow night, Jordan from Centre Half Bench, who's another YouTuber. He's a Richmond supporter as well. We're actually going to be ranking the players in a tier list, sort of your old school A through to D, to see where they're at now. And we'll try it again later in the year and see where they are as well. We've had a few comments on his channel and our channel saying we should do something. So we've got Jordan on tomorrow night. And then Wednesday night will be another live show with Pommy and Oz, who's a Carlton supporter and a YouTuber, to talk about the game from probably a more balanced and Carlton perspective. He might have some more insights as well than what we have. Maybe he'll know the answer to Harry Mackay if he's playing or not.
Well, you'll have the team news by then.
Yeah, we should have the team. And that was kind of the hope, that we'll be able to do those type of shows with Oppo supporters once we know the final teams, to give us something to really deep dive on. So that's a couple more live shows to look forward to this week. And then next week, we'll obviously have our first edition of the Big Footy Tiger Cast Player of the Year, which will launch on Tuesday, which we'll record after the Monday night live show with a series of legitimate votes, CB.
Let me guess. Presidential decree.
That was the first executive order.
Yeah, it was the first executive order.
It was.
You are on notice, sir.
Mate, you and every other media company at the moment, I'll tell you. So also, if you haven't got it, you got to understand, we know we're in for a rough couple of years. We're back at ground zero. So if you haven't got a ticket for Thursday night's game, I implore you, go support. Look, the results may not, not many results are going to go our way this year. But if you've got a chance to watch the debut of these young blokes, you know, and they go on to become 200 game players, etc. Just think about when you were first there for Koch, when you were first there for Richo, first there for all these guys. This is another opportunity to be there at the ground floor of these guys starting off a career. So if you can get to the MCG, I'd really encourage it. And it's our home game too.
Come on, man.
Yeah, exactly right. Get out to the G on Thursday night. I'll be there. We might meet up with a few people at halftime. Potentially, we'll see how that's all going. But yeah, thanks for everybody for tuning in tonight. Much appreciated. And we will catch you tomorrow, Wednesday, and then again next Monday for the live weekly show with all of us back on board. And hopefully we can talk about some great individual performances from the young Cubs. So until next Monday, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Lunchtime, ladies.
Lunchtime. Get on board. Oh, yes, we need a big lunchtime.